You're listening to Expand the Curve, and I'm your host, Olive Bassey. Here we discuss controversial topics within plus-size representation in all industries, along with real-life stories from everyday people. In order for change to occur, you must be the change. Let's contract the norms and expand the curve. Hey everyone, welcome back to Expand the Curve. It's your host, Olive Bassey, and I have a special guest with me today. Her name's Shakisha Williams. She is a film producer, film director, and creator of the Curvy Girl series, along with other films that she's created as well. Like, I think the last one she made was My Story, and then also having her own studio called Harlem Fusion Studios. So thank you so much for coming along, Shakisha.
Thank you for having me. Yes, this is an amazing podcast, and I'm so happy to be here with you. You have radio voice for sure. I have my own podcast, and my voice is not as smooth as yours. So I'm going to try and sound just so cool. Because I'm more like this. Hey, y'all, what's going on? I have to smooth it out a little bit.
No, please be yourself. I love this energy. Keep it going. Honestly, I only have a smooth voice because I'm super nervous, so I'm trying to keep my cool. But I can go up and down.
All right. Let's go.
Yeah. So if you wanted to tell the audience a little bit about yourself, how you got started, and your career, how'd you get into this? Honestly.
So I have the honor of knowing since I was a little kid I wanted to be in the entertainment industry. It wasn't something that I ever doubted. I remember being a kid and watching Guys and Dolls every single day. The one with Marlon Brando and Frank Sinatra. I watched that movie every single day. It was on a VHS tape. I didn't pop the tape, but I got a nice little wear and tear out of it. And I loved how it made me feel. I loved the songs. I loved the choreography. I loved everything that it meant to me. And I grew up in the sitcom era. So Three's Company and Good Times and The Jeffersons. And I knew I wanted to be a part of that. I didn't know what that meant at the time, but I knew that was where I was to be. And a lot, like most of us, I kind of got sidetracked with life and having a family and working in corporate. And I did a lot of things, but, I finally found my way back to the film industry. I went to film school, which, by the way, I'm not saying anything's wrong with education. It has its place, but spent a lot of money on film school. I'm glad I was able to kind of explore that, though, in a safe environment. A lot of indie filmmakers have to kind of learn on their own and spend a lot of their own money and find equipment and make a lot of those foibles and mistakes. I didn't have to do that because I was in school and did it in a classroom setting. So that was cool. But, I always felt that if you have a pain point, to make sure that you were the one to explore it. If you see something wrong in the world, it's on you to make that right. I am a huge fan of Sex and the City. I am a Sex and the City for real. and I always was I would love to see, because I am as fly as SJP. I love a good shoe. I love a good outfit. I'm always too much. And so were my friends. And I wasn't seeing it. I was where are the big girls who are representing? Where's the pretty friend who's heavy set and doing her thing? Where's the plus size chick who's out here showing, throwing around thigh? There were a lot of problems with Sex and the City, including the diversity. I mean, they cast Blair Underwood, which was a no-brainer. But there were a lot of diversity issues on so many levels. But for me, I translated it into where's the big girls? And that's what I wanted to see. So I went ahead and I wrote Curvy Girls Rock. And it's a show about five plus size women living in New York and following their journey with their careers, their love lives, and friendships. So, if I could show you better than I could tell you what's needed. And I really wanted the show to not be paramountly about their weight. I wanted their bodies to speak more than their mouths saying things about, I got tired of the diet struggles. I got tired of, because not every person who is of a certain size and or weight feels like they want to be in a different body. Right. And I wanted that. And I think it's important that, because when I wake up in the morning, first thing isn't on my mind, my weight or my color or my gender, you know, unless it's that time of the month, unless it's that time of the month. Honestly, like that's not something that occurred to me like on a daily basis. It comes up in conversation or certain things happen and you're like, oh, whatever. Like, well, even more now, you see a lot of clothes for plus size women that are diverse, but still there's areas that need improvement. But overall, just like, let's see people living. Let's see them doing their thing. And that's what I wanted. And here I am talking about it with you.
I love it. I love it. I started watching it. I haven't finished. I'm sorry. I'm still trying to finish it here. But it's actually a short series, you guys. So you guys can go, please watch, please watch. But the first episode, this one line still, I think it just stands by me. It's like, why won't men date me? Or like, it was not why won't men date me. It was like, what type of men are just don't see me? And like the one girl's like, blind men don't see you, girl. That's the issue. And I was like, that's it. I love that. That is taking that to my grave, honestly.
Honey.
Yeah. Like, seriously, like, what? It's so refreshing to see another series where weight is not the, like, whole structure of the show. It's just women living their lives, showing a series of, like, everyday struggles that we go through, but just as plus-size women, but not making it the weight to be the main purpose of the whole discussion. And I love that series for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the great thing is, there are a number of series coming out now, including Pretty Poor Big Girl, which was, I think, in production or in development right around the time I released Curvy Girls Rock. Yeah. Courtney Arlett, who's amazing and also stars in it. They're like, so I feel like because of Curvy Girls Rock or the inspiration that Curvy Girls Rock gave to other creators, or even, you know, even if it was just a small inkling, like, well, she did it, why not? Like, I want it to become the norm. Yeah. I want it to become a part of the narrative. Yeah. Just as important. Where's our Disney princess who is plus?
Oh my God, you're right. I can't think of someone right now.
You know, other than the big girl from The Little Mermaid, the bad girl, the old.
Oh, you're talking about Ursula?
She's a badass here now. Ursula.
Oh my God. Yeah. And she was after, I think Ursula was created because of a drag queen. Really?
So she's like, so she based on, okay. Yeah. She's still based on a big girl though. Look out. What's
right.
Up?
Yeah.
Queens in the but building. But other than Ursula, we don't see it. Yeah.
Like she was portrayed as like the villain. Even like then, I was just like, plus size people don't have to be represented in a bad spotlight. Like, why would you do that to us?
She was purple, you know, she wasn't even like a human color.
It's almost like they just had to villainize that. Like she was just portrayed. It was like, no, she's actually a beautiful woman. It's just, I understand Ariel's supposed to be the main character.
Right, but let's talk about that too. Why are we sexualizing like Ariel with the you know, seashell bra? Yeah. Why are we sexualizing these characters that are marketed to young girls?
Yeah.
Like there's a study, Gina Davis Institute talked about how girls between the ages of 3 and 6 begin to think about their bodies and weight at that age, what they look like. What?
I know. And it's just, it's so disheartening because it's like, you see it everywhere. Like girls are experiencing even in like their children's books. Like, I don't know. It's just like, even there, you need to like, you have to make a fresh start. Like that's the first impression is education. Like you have to show that type of representation. And I think that's where a lot of weight discrimination
starts. Well, you're of the Bratz generation. Yeah, you're of the Bratz generation. Mm-hmm. Them hookers, them thoughts, they were thought dolls. Faux show. Yeah. Faux show. Yeah. Thotty thought, thottedness. And with their thotty thought, thottedness. Yeah. Spurred the whole generation, and then we ask the question like, why are women so this, or why do women care so? Because the powers that be trained them to make that connection and make that assertion that it's about, as women, we're just about our bodies, not our brains, not our, you know, anything else. It's about what we look like and how we appear in the world. And I also believe that Black and brown women, well, particularly Black women, show up in bigger bodies more often. So there are very distinct racial connotations when it comes to race and weight. Yeah. There was a article in the 1800s about talking to Christian white women and saying, we don't want the bodies of the African or, you know, of not the African, it was of Africa. Mm-hmm. So it gave the continent, but the coded language was definitely clear that we don't want to be like our bodies to be like black women's bodies.
Right.
And you and I are having a conversation. I wish I would love to share that article with you so you can share it with the listeners on your beautiful Instagram page, by the way. Shout outs and kudos to you, girl. You be doing it. You get it in.
Thank you. Love it. Thank you so much.
But no, but those implications, those racial implications about body image, even the BMI is rigged.
Yes.
Like, there are so many areas of what we are as black and brown women that are strictly targeted for us. So you know, whether we're twerking or our dances or our looks or our sayings and slang are often co-opted.
Yeah.
We are not given the same, you know, like, I still have to think about if I go back to corporate, can I braid my hair? I still have to think about that. Can I wear my afro? Is that going to be a problem?
Yeah.
Is that going to be something? Like, when you're going on interviews, if you wear natural, you might have a wig in the stash. Just so you don't have to have the conversation.
Yes. Yeah.
So there's so much. There's so much behind it. And when I was on set and making it, it took me 3 years to actually make it.
Wow.
Lane Bryant came on as a partner. 3 years, girl. That was so little.
Oh my god.
You think just going to school's a mess? You think going to school's hard? Lord. But I stuck to it because so many people had given their time. The actors, the crew. Showed up for me and showed up for the idea and showed up for what they believed in, which was this project and how important it was. I couldn't fail them.
Yeah.
So we finally got it done. And in 2020, it is now streaming on the Curvy Cons website.
Nice.
So that's dope. Uh-huh. CeCe Lisa and Chastity Garner, aka Garner Style, you know, it was just an amazing, you know, collaboration. So yeah, and here we are today.
That's amazing. I was going to ask, did you make the Harlem Fusion Studios after the Curvy Girl series or before that?
Before that. I had, I always knew my company was Harlem Fusion. I have Harlem Fusion Enterprises that I established in 2006, because like you, I was in marketing. And what I was doing was marketing independent artists, because I'd worked at Universal at the Motown imprint and found that everything that was going on, whether it be publicity or marketing, that wasn't happening for independent artists. They had to do a lot of that themselves.
Yeah.
So after going to a few, you know, where you go to a loft and listen to the latest, you know, artists, I'm like, I can do that for indie artists.
Yeah.
And I got with a partner and she and I actually began to do these concerts. Like, it was probably every 3 months or so. And yeah, like after that, I was like, I need a company. I need to find a way to make some money off of this.
Right.
So, and when I transitioned into film, I created Harlem Fusion Studios.
Wow. That's amazing. I mean, the whole process, I can only fathom what that's like, but like, truly, you are doing the most. I love it.
Always, like, it's not like for me, I always say I wish I could clone myself when I'm at my best, because like so many people, I get, like sometimes it gets hard, not because of the work, but because what it takes and what it entails.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's the financial aspect. Sometimes it's the time aspect. Sometimes it's just resources. But I don't want to make excuses for what I've been given.
Yeah.
You know, the mantle is huge, but it's very life affirming that I've been given it. And the one thing, so I'm a cursing Christian, so I'm not perfect. I'm horrible. I know I'm going to have some conversations on the other side with some people. I'm going to have to try to pay some money at somebody at the door to get in. I have to bribe somebody with some heaven cash or something. Have a conversation with people. Like, look, Peter, you know, we cool, right? We cool. Because I'm one of those.
Yeah.
But as a cursing Christian, I think I understand the regular folks and people who aren't Christian, not even regular folk, people who aren't like religious. Mm-hmm. Or, and I don't consider myself religious by any means because I accept everyone. Yeah. But I do understand there are people of faith who don't, who know about mantles and having and being blessed with something more. And I've been blessed with a gifting and I can't look at that in any other way than being thankful right. and grateful. Because again, at the beginning, it was like, it could be a whole other conversation. Yeah. You and I talked about that. Like, it could be a whole other conversation. Yeah. So, you know, Olive, I just take it as it comes. And with the ups and the downs, I know there's something on the other side. So I'll see you once I get my first Oscar.
Oh, thank you.
Shout out to Olive.
Oh, I love that. Thank you. I was going to ask, so what's the most important lesson you've learned so far in your career?
As much as you may want to push your time, mm-hmm. your time is when your time is. Mm. And also, I've been saying this a lot recently because I hear a lot of people under this angst because we all want it now. We live in America. We're all goal-oriented. After high school, we go to college, and after college, we get the job. And, you know, so it's always a press forward, right? Yeah. But, and sometimes, what I just said, sometimes you don't have the resources. $1 million check. Here's what it is. What if you're in a room with millionaires, and you get to talking with someone, and they just like you? They just like you because, right? Because they dig your vibe, or y'all just laughed it up. And they go, you know something? I am in love with you and your personality. What are you working on right now? And you give them a little summation of what you're working on. I'd love to meet with you on Monday. I have about $1 million I need to put into a new project. Call the office on Monday. I'd love to set up some time with you. Are you ready for that meeting? Do you have the budget? Do you have the pitch deck, the slides? Do you have the business plan done? Are you ready for your $1 million check? So many of us want what's on the other side mm-hmm. and we don't get ready. Or we got to rush the, you know, and so many holes. The reason why I've been able to do Curvy Girls, which led to a lot of other opportunities, was because I was ready. That 3 years I spent making Curvy Girls, I learned so much about, you know, the fatisms and the sizisms and ageism mm-hmm. and sexism and racism. All of that, when I'm having conversations with people who could fund me, gave me leverage. So whatever I felt when I had a setback or when I couldn't shoot when I wanted to or when I had to take a pause or when I had to save money to do my next shoot, whatever that was, it prepared me for a level I didn't even know I was reaching for. So that in of itself is a great example of what it means to get ready so you don't stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Yeah. That's a great way to give that example.
$1 million check. Are you ready?
Yeah. I never even thought about it because I can be a planner, but sometimes I'm just like on the go, like spontaneous. So having that preparedness and having that, you know, like a business plan set in motion. Oh my God. I need to reevaluate how I like prioritize my life.
We always think we're ready for the next level. Because in our hearts, because the spirit wants that. Like who we are when we look at our future and what we see, you know, we're ready. But are you ready? Yeah. Are you really on point with that? Are you really able to firmly stand if someone had $1 million check to offer you? Are you going to get the, well, I appreciate you coming by. It was so nice getting to know you. Are you going to get that? Or are you going to get, well, let's go.
Oh my God. How was the Curvy Girl Rock series, like the feedback and the reviews? Like, how did that come out when it first aired?
We got a lot of great feedback. The the premiere party was, can I curse?
That's fine. I don't care.
Fucking everything. Fucking everything. The premiere party was out of control. Beautiful. Gwen DeVoe showed up. Sharon Quinn did my red carpet. Oh. Emmy came. Emmy is OG plus size, like a supermodel from back then. She was like the Ashley Graham before Ashley Graham.
Oh, wow.
My God. When I tell you, every single blogger, every single influencer from the community came out looking amazing and beautiful. Right now, if you hashtag, if you Instagram and hashtag Curvy Girls Rock premiere or Curvy Girls Rock series, you'll see like tons of photos from the, I have photos that I've never shared of the red carpet and the everyone looking beautiful and videos from behind the scenes, because I had like this period where I just was like, I powered down. It had been taking so much for me to do everything that I'd done. I just didn't have the wherewithal. And I believe if I had been able to push through, something else would have occurred. But it's okay. Sometimes you need a break. So I took my break. But yeah, it was freaking amazing. Amazing. Oh. Amazing. And Ebony came out and they did a write up.
Wow.
Literally said, Curvy Girls Rock shuts down Brooklyn. What?
Oh my God.
What?
That's amazing.
That was everything. That was everything. Wow. So yeah.
That's like legendary. Oh my God. Yes. Congratulations on that.
That was sick.
Oh my God.
That was sick. I guess what? I found out from the article that there was a specialized cocktail, because I didn't eat a drink. I didn't have time. So I didn't even know there was like a Curvy Girls Rock cocktail and food specifically prepared for us. So I was like, oh, that was cool. I appreciate that.
Oh my God.
Yes. Wow. Yes, indeed. Yeah.
The entertainment industry has never been kind to us fat people, especially when they put actors into fat suits. What's a fat suit? It's a bodysuit-like undergarment used to thicken the appearance of an actress or actor of light to medium build into an obese character. There are around 40 portrayals of actors wearing fat suits in the media.
Well received.
Absolutely. So we've been talking about like the whole plus size industry and like how it is, and even in the film industry and stuff like that. Let's break it down even more. What do you think of the term plus size? Do you think we should still identify as that, or do you think we should rebrand ourselves?
I think for some people, because plus size has to do with the size of clothing, they're not comfortable. Some people want to claim fat. You know, I feel like we're in a time when I can use certain language and I understand what you mean. No matter what it is, I know what you're talking about. So I don't necessarily hold standard to the conversation surrounding, you know, I haven't made the meeting where we all get together and hold up a sign and say what we want. Everybody, fat, no, okay, 10, 20, all right, plus size, okay, we got 16, 30. No, you know, I wasn't there for that session.
Yeah.
I didn't make it to that meeting, so I wouldn't know. But I feel you call me a chimney sweep if you treat me well. If I show up in spaces and I, you know, as a woman, I haven't had that issue, but there are some women who need size extenders on planes and are fat shamed for that. Or they're told they should buy a second seat. For me, those are the conversations that matter, not necessarily the title.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I completely agree. Because it's like, we don't, it's honestly just like sexual orientation. Like, I don't even want to label myself in that, but I also want to be part of this community as what it is. That's why I like the term queer versus like labeling myself. But I understand labels help identify people and they, you know, make their lives a little easier, but I also feel like labels also can be misinterpreted and misrepresented in like all these, like even with the body positive movement, it was supposed to be for us, but then it totally backfired and it's now against us.
Co-opted. I think sometimes without, you know, making it racial, I think sometimes women who don't understand certain elements of the struggle, I think it's harder for Black queer individuals than it is for white queer individuals. I think it's harder for fat Black women than it is for fat white women.
Yeah.
because they'll get a deal and others will not. Like, you, I love Ashley Graham. I'm saying this. I feel like I'm betraying her. Love her. Love her. That being said, there are other Black models who we've seen over the years who we go, well, damn, she didn't get that kind of shot. Right. She didn't get those kind of deals. She didn't that kind of shine. And that's without, I don't want to go into any names, but I use Ashley because she's gorgeous and she's a white girl, but there are gorgeous Black women who mirror her body size and type and facial structure who never got those opportunities. Yeah. So it could be harder for people of color to walk in these already, like, minority spaces already, but then even smaller within the genre, like within the minority.
Yeah, for sure. It's such a niche market, you would say.
Absolutely. That's my take.
Absolutely. And, like, in regards with the whole plus size, like, industry and, like, representation, what parts of it do you love and which parts don't you like that you would like to change?
Wow. I believe that I'm trying to think of things that I want. There's so much I want to change. I don't know if it's industry or hearts, right? Or even laws. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What I believe is that as a plus size woman, I have had struggles internally with weight. And I'm being completely honest, and I know this isn't everyone's. I only had one comment one time about weight in reference to me on social media. Mm. Don't come for me now, because I'm here for the bullshit. Don't start coming in my. Don't do it, because I said something. You got to make a point, because I will destroy your life. I know how to research people, so stay away from me. That being said, I haven't had that kind of that, and it does. It, no one's come for me, but I have friends in this industry who have had conversations with me on my program and in person and together talking, who said they've been attacked completely, and it often boils down to these men who feel like, if I'm not attracted to you, you shouldn't exist.
Oh.
If I don't find you sexy, why are you here?
Right.
So they'll say things and it's like, sir, I don't want your dick. I don't need your dick. I didn't ask you for your dick. But I appreciate the fervor for which you displayed.
Oh my God.
Displayed your anger. Like, honestly, it comes down to, if you're not comfortable with yourself, that has nothing to do with me. Or if you're uncomfortable, like Lizzo's always being attacked. And why? Why? Why is she always on the chopping block? And I know you already had a whole discussion on the podcast about this. So my bad,
no,
girl.
Go ahead. I don't want to draw that. I love it. Go ahead.
I think it was the last episode or episode a couple of weeks before. But anyway, you know, I feel like mind your business. Like, I've always been of the you know, mindset. If I have nothing nice to say, I'm shut the fuck up. Why do you feel like making someone else feel bad is okay? Who are you? What pain have you gone through in life?
Yeah.
What misery have you faced that you feel like it's okay to just say mean things and mean shit to people?
That
to me is what it's about. It's not necessarily systems. It's hearts that need the fucking change.
Yeah. I completely agree. It's like,
y'all be thugs online if you want to, but.
Oh, for sure. It's their internalized fat phobia is completely showing, and it's ridiculous. It's getting fucking old, and things need to change for sure.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's an industry thing or if it's people outside of the industry. This is what I love. So I just watched Savage X Fenty Volume 3, the fashion show. It's on Prime, and the Evil Empire's, like what I like to call it. And it was on the Evil Empire's network. And when I looked at the diversity from skinny bodies to size 4X and 5X bodies on the runway strutting, I thought back to when the CEO of Victoria's Secret doubled down on, I will never have plus sizes in Victoria's Secrets. I will never have da 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 da. And what Rihanna did and how she, you know, became so popular was her inclusion of these bodies that were across. I mean, the Paralympic gold medalist, she was in it, rocking with a little teddy. Like, what, girl? The inclusion is where it's at. Yeah. You don't leave no money on the table. It's a good business decision. It's nothing else.
It's not even just a good business decision. It just represents the world. Like, it reflects the society as is. Instead of showing it one-sided, we are seeing it from all sides. It's perfect.
It's not white. It's not black. Yeah. It's all of us coming together, steaming up this world, bringing something special to it. I think the facade is crackling a bit. The facade that it's one way to live, love. It's one way to look. We've fucked up AI with white racism. We have. Because even still, if you Google beauty, you still see the faces of white women pop up. And that has to do with the skewed, you know, AI that we've all unfortunately been a part of. And the doll test is still, unfortunately, black children are still picking the white doll. It was a study just recently. It's still, like, a lot of the effects, until we break down the systems, will still happen. But I like the fact that we're tearing down these walls slowly.
Yes. I love that, too.
Disrupt, baby! Yeah, right? Disrupt, Alice!
And I was going to ask, I mean, you kind of, like, already said it, but what do you think it's taking so long for women of bigger sizes to really be seen in this century, for real, right now?
So now that we're in the 21st century, and we've cracked through this is the first 20, I feel like what happened between 2016 and 2020 began to, again, Berlin Wall situation, like little things that we all saw and stood behind in 2020, we were unable to not see anymore.
Okay.
And there are some amazing plus size models, influencers, who are not just using their platforms to sell clothes or to do affiliate ads or whatever. They're actually using their platforms to say, I never thought this would happen to me, or on days when I'm feeling XYZ. Those kinds of things give other people something to stand on. So if I'm having a bad day, or if I'm not feeling great about myself and I look like you, it gives me something more to stand on. And I think, unfortunately, not enough people are standing up and shouting from the rafters.
Yeah.
The more we are doing that, like with this podcast, like with Curvy Girls Rock, like with a lot of the other new shows that are coming out that are about plus size women, curvier bodies, fatter bodies, Fat Girls Dance, that's my girl, Kathleen. When you see these kinds of things, it emboldens you to be more. So I think the more we're doing the work, we'll begin to see. I mean, it took a good 30, 40 years for the civil rights movement to really get at its peak and pinnacle. And I think we're now at a point where it's becoming more radicalized. Yeah. The movement is becoming more radicalized.
Absolutely.
So we're moving in the right direction. I know it's slow, but we're gonna make
and
it.
And I'm waiting to see a whole documentary on fat liberation and fat acceptance, and pretty much showing the good and the bad of body positivity movement, fat acceptance. I want to see that. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. F your beauty standards. Yeah.
With
shout out to
Tess Holliday creating that whole movement. I mean, that's amazing.
And now Denise Bedell, she had all bodies. I can't remember the slogan.
All bodies are good bodies, or something like that.
Something like that, yes. And now she's with Lil Wayne and went down several sizes. She's still a thick girl. I'm like, Denise, I know, I can't wait to see you talk about it again, sis. And a lot of the OGs are still doing their thing, and I think living life out loud and being proud of who you are and standing in the gap for others. And sometimes that means standing in the gap merely is you just doing the best you can with the life that you have and encouraging others through your work.
Absolutely.
It's just the best thing possible.
It's the only way we can, really. Yeah.
Absolutely.
What was the moment you redefined what it means to be fat, plus size, and curvy in your life, in your career, anything like that?
I'm sorry, but I've always been a bad bitch. My bad. I've always been fine.
I love it.
But what I wanted was, and I say that because really I struggled with self-confidence. I've always felt like I needed to be in a certain place in my life. And if I wasn't, I was unhappy. And I was always like down, like beating myself up, because being ambitious can be twofold. It could be really amazing because you strive for what you want to achieve things. But if you don't check it, it could be really hard. When I started the road to Curvy Girls, I didn't understand where it was taking me. I jumped in the role because of what I saw in my mind, but what came out of it was so much more. It was the one or two followers who would hit me up in the DM, like, I need this. This is what I've been waiting for. Oh my God, I can't wait to see the show. Me collaborating with some amazing people in the space. Me doing, it was called Sex and Body Positivity, or Sex and Bigger Body. And we did several of those across the country. We did them in D.C. We did them here in New York. Those kinds of things, and talking about the insecurities and sharing our experiences and talking about wanting partners who we wanted and having the ability to say, I don't want somebody just because you think I should have that person, or your friend setting you up with somebody just because they think that that should be your type. Just all kinds of things spawned with me just starting. Yeah. And I learned so much about myself and about the power that I really had. So some of the self-confidence that I struggled with, it started expanding. I was able to deal with a lot of my old demons that had nothing to do with my weight or size, but would come out in different areas, eating disorders and, you know, struggling with weight in ways that was not necessarily healthy. So, and I was able to then look at that and go, wow, okay, now I know. Now it was enlightening. Yeah. And it was good for me in that becoming a creator, I had different ways of looking at characters and developing conversations around these areas. So,
Oh my gosh. I mean, I understand going through struggles, and everyone's story is completely different. Even with mine and stuff like that, but I do share with the whole self-confidence. It takes a lot of time and patience with yourself to truly come to that realization of acceptance and strength and courageousness, because it's not easy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
If you could go back and give your 18-year-old self one piece of advice, what would it be?
Leave them boys alone. Don't worry about them boys. You ain't even gonna know half them niggas. And Negroes, you worry about them, and I worry about you, girl. You got so much you could be doing. Leave them boys alone. That's what I would say. And I would also say, don't undercut yourself because of age or because of lack of anything. You know, reach out for those opportunities. Go for the A plan. Go for plan A. Hard. Hit plan A so hard. Hit plan A really, really hard. Don't go around don't worry about money, because that'll come. Don't worry about education, because that'll happen. Go after plan A as hard as you can. And then leave them boys alone.
You had some boy troubles back then, didn't you?
I had boy issues for show.
Oh my God. That was like the one thing I didn't have, was not boy issues.
Oh my God.
I love that.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But that was a part of my struggle of looking for other things outside of myself. Yeah. When I didn't go with the plan A, you know, getting little jobs here and there, just saying I needed to make money, I something happens in your spirit and you'll look for ways to fill that up.
Yeah.
When all along, all you had to do was the plan A, and that would fill you up with what you needed. And the more you know, and the rainbow. The
more you know. Yep, the more you know. Oh my God. What tips or advice would you recommend for the plus size representation to be normalized in society?
Keep making shows. Like, let's have the first plus size action hero.
Mm.
Melissa McCarthy did it in that comedy. I absolutely loved it. I think I watched it 3 or 4 times already.
Yeah.
But let's see the plus size action hero. And not, you know, it could be comedic, but let's show that. Let's have, you know, him or her, like, get the dude, get the girl, you know, like, in the car, doing the tech. Let's see that. Let's see more of that. Let's see the plus size girl, you know, running a corporation. Let's do the, like you said, let's do the documentaries that follow the movements, that talk about the things that you and I discussed today. Yeah. Let's see those things. Because again, I just watched the Rita Moreno documentary. So good. So good. I think it's called Just the Girl Who Tried.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was called. Yeah. So good. Giving like kind of a light into being a Latina at a time when they just wanted to make her a brown island girl, you know, like the savage or the native. Right. And what that was like, we need to see more of that, what it looks like, kind of the history, like what we talked about, the black and brown women who started the body positive movement, who were the heads of the plus size movement, simply by showing up in their bodies and doing what they do. Yeah. I would love to see that. I would love to see that.
Yeah, I completely agree. I need to see that series that you just mentioned because I totally want to check that out. But honestly, it's having us being on the forefront of it along with our counterparts or our thin counterparts too as well. Like, we shouldn't just be supporting. We should be the main role too as well.
Absolutely. It's so important. I want my story to be told, and we could have the best friend be a beautiful skinny white girl. She could totally help us decide how to get this guy. Or always rush it with the folders because we got to finish the work at our what you call it, at our bakery or our magazine or the firm we're working at, you know, getting the big deal signed.
Oh my God. I would love to see. You have to make that now. You've already put that up in motion.
All the tropes. All of the tropes.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Oh my God. Wow.
I'm on it. I'm on it, girl. I'm on it. I'm going to make it. I'm writing as we speak.
Yeah, of course. Put it in the universe. Put it in the universe.
Done.
You have a large following on social media. What do you think it is about you and your style that attracts people?
I don't know. I think for me, I don't like social media because I don't like people in my biz.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have pictures of my family that I don't share on social.
Yeah.
But I do like the power that you can have. I know I'm fortunate. Like, Curvy Girls Rock has a nice size following. I had a nice size following until my account got hacked and I had to start from the beginning. But I feel like people follow me. Like, I do a lot of stuff on Clubhouse. Mm-hmm. So people will hear me on Clubhouse and they'll immediately, like, after I speak on Clubhouse, I'll come to my IG and it's like all these people are now following me. I'm like, oh, okay. And having influence in that manner means a lot of risk. Like, I have to respect it.
Yeah.
And know that I hold some weight and I can influence and I can make a difference.
Yeah.
And that's what matters to me, making a difference. I always say, at the end of this road, whatever this road, I'm still working out a deal with God that I never die, but I'm sure there are a lot of people who thought they had that deal sealed and locked in, but we'll see. But if I die, I want my people, the people gathered to celebrate me, to say she always made me feel good. I always felt great. Like, you can meet people and they don't remember what you look like, but they can hear you. Like, oh my God, yeah, I love her.
Yeah.
And I'm not a warm, lukewarm personality. you either really like me or you fucking hate me. Like, there's no in between with me. Like,
there's no middle ground.
Oh my God, I'm not a lukewarm personality. I'm really you're all in or you're like hard pass.
Yeah.
So for me, yeah, I want people to have gotten to know me and felt good after they left the experience with me, whether that's on social or anything else.
Yeah. And I already feel the love and support, and also just your energy alone is just so, like, so energetic, but also so radiant. Like, it has me giddy all of a sudden, because I feel that presence, and it's just like, it's not just woman supporting woman. It's just humans just supporting humans, just like on a base level, just having that kind of belongingness. And I really appreciate hearing from you. Like, it's just truly.
I appreciate you inviting me to this amazing podcast. Come through, Miss Olive.
Yes, of course. What do you have in the works for your future career and projects and stuff like that? I'm excited to hear.
Man, I'm actually in the middle of optioning a book so I can work on this huge project I've been working on for the past decade.
Okay.
I'm in the middle of creating a crowdfunding course because I raised $40,000 in 40 days.
Wow.
And I want people to, it was a hard push, man. But I want to teach other people how to crowdfund confidently, how to crowdfund effectively, to get rid of some of the stigma surrounding, people. I don't like asking nobody for nothing. No, it's not about that. There's so much more to the whole experience. So that's a huge one. And actually walking into 2022, it's crazy we're even talking about 2022. This is outlandish and insane.
Right? Yeah.
Insane in the membrane. But walk into 2022 with some projects and some things under my belt. I'm really excited about the future. And I'm invigorated in a lot of ways. So let's go. That's where I'm at.
Awesome. I'm glad you're here. Guys,
sorry, I've been so secretive. Like, it's just no, it's nondescript.
No, that kind of keeps me on the edge. I'm like, ooh, what's in it for her? Like, I can't wait to check out a little sneak peek. You're good.
Indeed.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this was Shakisha Williams, everyone. Is there anything you'd like to plug for social media, profiles, any projects that you want to announce, anything like that?
Yeah, definitely follow me on social. I am Shakisha DW on Instagram. I know I should have it across the board, but I'm not that person. Real Shakisha on Twitter and Shakisha Dennis Williams on Facebook. You can also find me at my podcast, Shakisha and the White Boy, which is SATWB, the number one, across all social media. And Curvy Girls Rock series, which is the series I was just talking about, now streaming on the CurvyCon, at the CurvyCon. All of that. And my website is ShakishaWilliams.com. So check us out.
Thank you so much. You guys go follow her on all her social media. Listen to her podcast. I listened to a few episodes already and I'm in love with it. Please, please check it out, you guys. It's so good.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Expand the Curve. Leave us a review and tell us what you think. We appreciate your support. You can keep up with the podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you want to contribute a donation to the podcast, just click on the listener support on our Anchor page. You can listen to all episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, Stitcher, and Pocket Casts.